All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. August 20th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Hope it's great wherever you are at. We're definitely dealing with a visitor. Aaron, the hurricane, is off the coast of here somewhere. I do not think it's coming on land, but we are definitely feeling the effects, I think. Actually rode down to the beach this morning to check it out. We were supposed to actually go paddling today. And, my coach called it, said, nah, we're not going to do it. The ocean's pretty rough out there. There's a lot of red flags up and down the East Coast. So, you know, better be safe than sorry. But I did go down and check it out. It wasn't horrible. I mean, I would not want to be out there swimming, but I've definitely seen it worse, but that is sort of what's going on. Hope everyone's been well. I have not done a podcast for a while because I've just been hanging out. My kids are, my oldest son's been down, and I've just been hanging out with him. And my middle son was with us for 2 weeks, and so we've been doing the gym. And my oldest son, David's been paddling with us, which is like, totally melts my heart. He's cut out for it, man. He's a big boy. Big skinny kid, really, but he's long and he's got a lot of reach, and been able to go out and paddle with him a few times. He's sort of been, you know, interesting. He's been out paddling with other groups and the coach. I'm trying to stay out of it a bit, trying not to be that guy that tells him what to do. So I've just sort of let the coach handle him, and he's been doing great. We did get to paddle the other day. We paddled a couple of times, in fact. I guess it's been about a week now we paddled, and God, he's strong, and man, he was sitting in front of me and paddling, and I just felt 100 feet tall. It was just really, really cool. Vicariously living with my kids, right? I always feel like, you know, when it's our time to support our children, we'd love to run out on that baseball field or run out on that football field or whatever it is and join in. But that would be silly, right? So this is cool because we can actually both do this together. And, you know, the reality is this team needs young folk like my son, whether it's him or any other young people. We need some youth. You know, it's a bunch of old people. So it's been really cool, just really enjoying my life. Summer's been, you know, always awesome. Love summer. It's been hot, but it's been fun, you know, hanging out with my dad, taking the kids up to see my father. My dad's doing well. And then my kids have also been sort of taking apart my parents' house. So that's been a huge relief off my shoulders because it's just really an emotional roller coaster trying to decide what we can keep and what we can keep. What we can keep and what we can't keep. And the reality is we really can't keep that much. And so we've been loading things up, donating, taking to the dump, whatever it is. It's heartbreaking, but it is reality. Super grateful I'm sober for it. Everything's been good. Been doing a lot of meetings. Actually went to a meeting on, what is today? Today's Wednesday. Went to a meeting on Monday, and it was on the 11th step. Well, let me read that. Let me read it officially. Absolutely. One of my favorite steps, and absolutely one of the steps that have evolved from what I thought it was until what I feel it is for me, at least today. And that is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. And that is underlined. And, well, it says, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And, you know, I think the, you know, knowledge of his will for us, I think, is the confusing part, at least for me, or it has been. But I think what's most important is the part that's underlined, as we understood him. And, you know, it's a big step, right? It's a big step. But, you know, the problem is that I was trying to do this step with a God of my understanding from listening to people's version of a God of their understanding. Greater Than Thou, Metallica Black Album. Amazing album. Absolutely remember where I was and when that album came out, living in San Diego. Definitely high on drugs and drinking a ton of alcohol. But did not have any desire to get sober, obviously, back in those days. Definitely desire to get not get caught. And later would, and you know, I've shared that story. But yeah, Metallica Black Album, Holier Than Thou. Great song to come back to here. But yeah, so the 11th step, you know, and it's, you know, and I've shared before, you know, I've been working with a couple guys. I call them my guys. They're not my guys. They're just, they're my guys, but I feel like I'm their, you know, I feel like we're a little group and we support each other regardless if I have, you know, 17, 18 years and they have 6 months, you know, and I told them before, listen, man, I'm probably going to need you more than you need me. And so, you know, it's all a level playing field. But, you know, I was sharing with these guys, and we've been going through the first three steps and sort of started dipping our toe into the fourth step, which has been, you know, interesting. And but, you know, spending our time in the third step, I realized that, you know, everything after the third step really and honestly, one and two are really part of the third step to me, really making better choices, making better decisions. And seeing the reflection of that in my life. And I do believe that's the beginning of a relationship with a higher power. And if it's as simple as just doing something the opposite of what we used to do, right? Making the opposite choice and then living in it. And it's usually full of peace and free of fear, right? Because most of the decisions I used to make prior to getting sober or even while sober, I could make some serious decisions that would leave me worried and in fear and not peace, right? And so, you know, when that third step starts showing up in our life and we start to, you know, go to a meeting, not drink, reach out to a sponsor, ask for help, you know, share, start working through the steps, these are all decisions, I think, that in turn reflect in our life. You know, we start to have a thing called peace, right? Free of fear. And my problem is that, you know, and I've shared before, man, I spent a lot of time in my life searching for God because I wanted something or somebody to help me, whether it was financially, you know, socially, whatever it was. But I always, that was my understanding, right? My understanding is, and I only really got there from listening to other people, is that if you pray and you ask, God will, you will receive. And I was like, well, this is perfect. This is exactly what I'm looking for. And, you know, and obviously that didn't work out. And so what ends up happening for me is that I just sort of put God up on a shelf. I'll put a pen in it and we'll figure this out. Or I just have no desire to really continue trying to build that relationship because it's just not working out for me. And but over time, you know, and I'm talking years, man, and I feel bad when I listen to people that are new and they're talking about this relationship with God, and maybe they have one, I don't know. But the evolution of my relationship with God has taken years. And, you know, just as recently as sitting down with these guys and reading about the third step and sort of realizing, you know, I didn't really realize how much the third step plays a role in all the steps, you know, because we have a choice to do them or not, right? And, you know, I've shared before back in the past not doing a very good fourth step. And it reflected in my life, right? And so just starting to kind of wake up to what, for me at least, God is. And what I've told and shared and what I believe, and at least for me, is that God is just peace. Love free of fear, right? Just this place of nothing, right? I'm not worried about anything. I'm not eager about anything. I'm not, you know, I'm not egoed up about anything. I'm just in this vanilla zone, right? And unfortunately, character defects and shortcomings and all that other shit can kick me out of that space. But what I've learned to understand, at least for me, is that God is a place of peace and love and free of fear. And I give the example, and I may have said it in this podcast, but, you know, God is like a smoke detector with a bad battery. And whenever things are going well, everything is fine. But when When things are not going well, or things are said, or decisions are made, God starts chirping. And it's like that freaking smoke detector. Beep. You're like, damn it, right? And you think, I'll do it later. Beep. And you're like, oh my God. And then, you know, it drives you crazy until you, for me, make an amends, make an apology. I apologize. And then hopefully try not to do it again, right? Or I get out the ladder and I change the battery. Whatever it is, but something's going to get done or I'm going to go nuts. And that, to me, is my new understanding of what really God is. I remember someone said, you know, to pray, you don't ask for anything. Well, I'm like, well, that's not going to help my old understanding of God, because my old understanding was if I prayed, I would receive. And so now someone finally tells me, oh, by the way, if you pray, you ask for nothing. I was like, oh, boy. And so the evolution of my relationship with God has changed into a place where it is today. And so, you know, when I went to the meeting on Monday and it was the 11th step, you know, saw through prayer and meditation. And meditation has been an interesting word for me because, once again, right, I'm trying to use meditation off of somebody else's understanding, right, out of somebody else's way that they use it, the tool it is for them. And man, you can hear some people that meditate and they're like, you know, in an amazing place. And I'm like, all right, great. So, you know, and I used to do a spin class with a breathing guy and we would meditate and he would say, focus on the tennis ball. And I think I've shared about that. And it is interesting, you know, because I will say that if I'm not in a place of peace, my meditation, and especially if it's trying to focus like on a tennis ball, the tennis ball can be all different sizes and shapes and spins. And but when I'm in a peaceful place, it's really calm. So yeah, probably two different things. But today what I found for meditation is that, you know, and I use the example when I was, you know, especially as a kid, man, we did not, you know, obviously have computers. We didn't have maps. We didn't have Waze. We had a map. A paper map, and if we needed to go somewhere, you know, we had to look at the map, right? And then we evolved into, what was it, MapQuest, right? I remember going to see Pearl Jam up in Camden, New Jersey, and it's only a couple hours away, but I did not know how to get there, and so I would have to go on the computer and type in the address, and it would give us, you know, line-by-line directions, and I would take those papers, and I remember my buddy that I worked with over in East, and him and I went to the concert and had those papers, and we followed the papers, and it got us there, right? It got us there. And that, to me, is what I use meditation for today, you know? I was telling a buddy of this, a friend of mine, a guy, one of the guys I sponsored the other day, I'm like, you know, I have to keep reminding myself what this is all for, right? I'm not doing all this to become a preacher or you know, a yogi or something. I'm doing this all so that I don't pick up a drink again. And, you know, coming into the program, early recovery, I'm like, it's just a decision, right? I either pick up a drink or I don't pick up a drink. And it's true, but over time and working the steps and, you know, picking it all apart and, you know, making the right decisions, you know, I've learned that, and especially if I use the example of Easton, Maryland, when I did drink again, it wasn't because I was hanging out in a liquor store, right? It was because I didn't like the way they picked up the money at a meeting. And I didn't know about that. I was not prepared for that. And so today, you know, if I'm going to meditate, and I try to do it every day, you know, I wake up in the morning and I try to figure out what does this day involve? Right. And usually if I'm working, I'll take a look at my schedule. You know, every client is a different personality, especially in the world that we live in today. You know, they're either liberal or they're conservatives. And, you know, I figure I call myself more common sense, but, you know, I'm definitely not liberal, whatever. But some people are, right? And I have to listen. I can go into this, you know, appointment or this relationship with this client for the hour and a half that we're together, and I can start, you know, saying this and that, and, you know, one, it's going to be an uncomfortable experience, and two, I could lose the client. You know, maybe they don't want to come back, and maybe I don't want them to come back, and I don't want to get to that point, right? Right. I don't want to drink, but I also don't want to fire people, right? I also don't want to flip people off. I'm trying to be a better person. So I look at the day and I look at each client and I say, okay, this person's this way. I'm going to try to, you know, remind myself, and this person's this way. And, oh, this is a cool person. This will be a nice, smooth part of the day. And, you know, are they on time? You know, sometimes people have a little history and, you know, I have to remind myself, oh, this person's probably going to be early. Don't take them early, or at least chat a few minutes, but don't start them early because this is going to affect this next appointment, which in turn can really throw off my whole day. And so I spend the time, I meditate, but honestly, my eyes aren't closed, right? I'm not crisscross applesauce. I'm not burning incense. I'm really just trying to take some time, open, clear mind, and try to figure out my day. And, you know, and then I try to figure out, you know, what, then I think about, what are we doing for dinner? Are the kids here? What, you know, I try to look at the, I try not to live my life one surprise after another, right? Because unfortunately, surprises create inconvenience, right? And inconvenience creates arrogance. And arrogance is a demon that is not great to have around. And often when arrogance is around, things are said, or a tone, right? It can just be a tone. And all of a sudden, we are off the reservation. And so that's what I use. You know, for me, that is what meditation is for me, right? To each his own. I have to remind myself I'm in this for one reason and one reason only, not to drink again. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I came here for one reason, but today I have a lot of reasons, right? I want to be able to sit down and look at my day and say, hey, you know, there's some pitfalls here. There's some landmines in the path today. And so I have to, you know, just keep a good head on my shoulders about it and remind myself, because like I said, I do not want arrogance showing up. And so whether it's at work, the family, the day, you know, today I have really not a lot to do. And so I'm sort of a little out of sorts, if I could say, because there's not a lot to plan for. You know, I had to, we had to go pick up my son's car, and then I wanted to go put the trash cans back out at my dad's, or back in the garage, and so I just have a lot of free time, so I'm just sort of fumbling around, and I don't feel, I feel slightly lost, and I'm like, well, maybe I'll do a podcast. I've been wanting to do this podcast. It's just, you know, with my son here, and you know, and I, you know, it was kind of good to step away for a little bit, but I, you know, I love doing the podcast. So I said, well, maybe I'll do that. And so here I am. But this for me is a product, the 11th step is a product of me at first not understanding, and then later overcomplicating, and then finally getting to a place today where it's really just about, you know, what do I need to do? You know, I obviously need to show up, you know, physically do these things. But I need to take a little time in the morning and sort of go over the day, the plan, and so that, you know, I have a plan. And a plan is very helpful, at least for me. And it's been, you know, it's pretty awesome. Love this step. The prayer part, you know, I don't have a lot of prayers, right? Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And if it's bad, I say it twice. And if it's really bad, I say it three times. That's about as much praying as I do. You know, I was watching something about, I don't know, religion, and man, you know, it's pretty, I try to keep it really simple. I think it was somebody talking about getting into heaven or something, and I think someone was like, well, I think you might have to do more than that, and I'm like, yeah, what else? You know, if it was based on, right, you know, my behavior and all the things that are suggested, I don't know if I would make it into heaven, to be honest, but I do try to be a good person and I try to have peace. You know, it's not like God's like, hey, why don't you go do this today? And I must follow these directions. I don't have that sort of connection or that relationship with God. I just know that if I do something that unfortunately isn't in my meditation plan, there's going to be some chirping, and it's usually, you know, me out of the hands of God or me letting go of the hand of God, and I start to hear it. But there's no words. It's just intuition and feeling. And, you know, it has been a while since I did the podcast. I have had a few events take place. you know, I've shared about my buddy, the guy I've had several run-ins with, unfortunately, who I've known freaking 30 years, right? 27 years. And, you know, and I don't know if I shared this before, him and I have always got along, and then, you know, I tried to help him, and so it really brought us together more, and, you know, and ever since then, we've just sort of had struggles, and it's just really two different personalities. But, you know, I went to one of the things that has been going on is that this person has sort of become a martyr, right? Because he's running a meeting and he can't get anybody to sit up front and he can't get anybody to lead and take the commitment. And, you know, it's like poor him. And I do feel bad. I do know what it's like to personally take on a project, and it, you know, it's hard. But there, you know, we've been taught, or at least people before us have been examples of how we don't get stuck into this place. One is we create a list, you know, with, 12 lines each month on each line, and you pass it around and you have people sign up to take a month. And if nobody wants to sign up, then you just shut the meeting down, right? We can't carry a meeting on our backs forever. You know, we can do it for a couple months, right? Listen, if it's a slow meeting or it's not well attended, yeah, we can take it for a couple months. But if it isn't getting any better, maybe we're just not good at the meeting, you know, fine. Maybe it's the wrong time, whatever. But sometimes meetings die, right? We have so many meetings in our area. It's not like if this meeting was to die that everybody would get drunk. But, you know, my buddy, he has to take it, and I told him, you know, he finally comes up to me and he says, you know, because I keep saying, you know, there's two meetings that are like this, but the Friday night meeting is like this. And I told him, I said, let's get the list together. Let's pass it around. Let's get people to sign up, right? Don't hijack people in the parking lot. And he's like, yeah, let's do that. And I said, all right, we'll get the list together and I'll... And so we were chatting about it, and then I ran into him at another meeting. He's like, so can you take the month of August? Did you say you would do that? I said I would take the month of August if we get a list together. You know, I'm not going to take the month, and then after the month of August is over, we're still in the same place. We need to get this list passing around so people can sign up. It gives people opportunity to be a part of things. You know, that is, you know, service work is key, to be honest with you. I've said before, man, it allowed me to learn how to shake hands and hug a person and make some coffee and be a greeter and be accountable and all this stuff, all this wonderful things that comes from service. We are not giving people the opportunity at this meeting. And so anyway, I saw him at a meeting. He's like, so you'll take the August? And I go, yeah, just get the list. And so I show up at another meeting. No, I show up at the meeting because I took the meeting for August. And, I walk in and I'm like, did you get the list together? No, we'll get it after the meeting. It's the reality is our personalities just immediately clash. I don't know what it is. I really, 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 really try to have a great relationship with this person. I have no problems with anybody else, right? I don't go to meetings and argue with people. I don't have conflicts. I don't battle. I have tons of friends. We're all friends. I have no problem. But for some reason, this guy hits me in a spot where I go into, it becomes inconvenient, right? And then arrogance shows up again, once again, and I say things in a way that are offensive to him. And we got into it again. It's been a couple of weeks now, and I mean, like screaming. And finally, this kid that I sponsor, he goes, you guys need to knock it off. There might be a newcomer that comes into this meeting and he's going to freak out because you guys are acting like a bunch of assholes. And, you know, I'm like, shit, okay, you're right. What am I doing? What the fuck is going on here? I shut up. Of course, the kid that I sponsor is like, you know, I was really upset about that. And I'm like, well, bro, don't put a lot of expectations. You got to remember, we're all fucking nuts here trying to hold it together. But he was right. I did make an amends to him. But I was like, you know, and this is the guy that I got into. He's the guy I called a motherfucker. And then I had to make an amends because the damn smoke alarm wouldn't stop chirping. And so, you know, I finally reached, you know, made an amends. I've shared about that. And thought we were good. Right. But apparently deep below, there is still some molten lava that has not cooled off yet. And man, we got into it. And yeah, I felt bad. But the funny thing was that the smoke alarm didn't go off, right? There was no, you need to make an amends, because I don't know, right? I don't want to say God said that was okay, because it never is okay. But, you know, I wasn't tormented by making an amends. I really feel I really try to be the best version of me with him, right? I try not to, hey, man. And then, you know, also then you get into I get into this sort of thing like, you know, let me make sure I go over and shake his hand to make sure that he knows that I'm really sorry. And I did that for, you know, a couple weeks. Like, hey, buddy, it's, you know, good to see you. Passed it. And really felt like we were in a good place. But, you know, he is anonymous, but I will say, you know, for a person that has 30 years, he has not worked really a program. You know, he loves to, you know, say out loud that we wear people out, right? It says in the book that we can look for other sources of information to help us. You know, I don't know. I know it does say that there are people that have reached out to psychologists or whatever for a little extra help, but you know, it doesn't describe that in how it works, right? Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And not to take his inventory, but you know, he hasn't worked a program. I can tell he hasn't, because if he had, we wouldn't be here, right? He would say, man, what step are you wearing, or something like that. And he is just, unfortunately, we got sort of in an argument in front of a bunch of people. And then later this guy's like, yeah, he's just a permanent martyr, and martyrism or something like that. And I hadn't really thought about that, but he is, you know. And I've been there, right? Poor me. I'm having to deal with this meeting. I can't get people. You know, he asked me to take the meeting. I had 5 people lined up within 10 minutes. 10 minutes, I had 5 people lined up. I had the whole month covered. And but the thing about it is that when only one person does it and only one person is asking, people get sick of it, right? Like if you know, there's another meeting I go to and my buddy does the same thing, and then you walk in and he goes, hey, it's your turn. You're up this week. Like, he just sort of cycles through this, you know, group of people, because he doesn't go to other meetings, or if he does, he's not asking people. And if he is, he's asked so many people that they're just kind of burned out on it. But when you have like a buddy that I'm sponsoring, a new guy that, you know, takes the meeting for the month, and he comes up and says, hey, I'm taking a meeting for a month. Would you share for me? You're like, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Because this is how the process works. And yeah, I want to be part of it. But when someone doesn't do that and continues to hit the same people up over and over, people get burned out. So anyway, time's up. I appreciate you letting me share. I'm going to try to get back into the routine, start having fun again with it. You know, summer's winding down. My son's going back to school. School's starting. I'm going to have a little bit more free time, and I can come up here and, you know, check it out. See if we can get back into the schedule. All right, let me see if I can do the daily reflections. And then I'll let you go. Let's see. Where is it? Let me look it up. It's been a minute, I guess, Tom. Daily reflections. All right. All right. Towards emotional freedom, August 20th. Since defective relations with other human beings have nearly always been the immediate cause of our woes, including our alcoholism, no field of investigation could yield more satisfying and valuable rewards than this one. 12 steps, 12 traditions. Willingness is a peculiar thing for me in that over a period of time, it seems to come first with awareness, but then with a feeling of discomfort, making me want to take some action. Smoke alarm. As I reflected on taking the eighth step, my willingness to make amends to others came as a desire for forgiveness of others and myself. I felt forgiveness towards others after I became aware of my part in the difficulties of relationships. I wanted to feel the peace and serenity described in the promises. From working the first seven steps, I became aware of whom I had harmed and that I had been my own worst enemy. In order to restore my relationships with my fellow human beings, I knew I would have to change. I wanted to learn to live in harmony with myself and others so that I could also live in emotional freedom, the beginning of the end to my isolation. From my fellows and from God came when I wrote my eight-step list. Yeah. Really magical stuff that happens in this program. I tell you what, it's pretty freaking fantastic. It's unfortunate that we have to be absolute alcoholic bums before we can, I can pull my head out of my ass and start working on myself. So, hey, I missed you. Hope everyone has a great day, and we'll catch you later. Bye. You are-